Welcome. And thank you for joining the Father's Vineyard podcast. We are located at 724 Oakland Road in Spindale, North Carolina, and invite you to join us.
We are a church that loves God, loves people, and makes a difference.
Now, let's join today's service.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Amen. Oh, let's just pause. I want to pray this morning. Amen. How many need prayer this morning? I know we always need prayer, but is there something specific you need this morning? Okay, just lift your hand. We're going to pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord God, that you're the God that healeth us. You're the God that delivereth us, Lord. And God, whatever the need may be, Father, we just pray for these with their hand raised, Lord, that you would just meet their needs, Lord. And God, we pray, Father, that you will give them the strength, Lord, to endure whatever they're going through. So, Father, we lift up them this morning. And God, we pray for Pastor Terry this morning. God, we pray for complete healing in his body, Father. And God, that you will bring stability in his body, Lord. And we pray, God, that every muscle is strengthened, Lord, that he'll be able to walk. And God, we pray, Father, that you will comfort him throughout this day. We speak peace over him. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Praise the Lord. So we just thank God for you being here this morning. And, you know, I just want to share something with you that dropped in my heart this morning, you know. And as I was getting up this morning, this scripture was in my heart. I didn't have any intentions on, I had my notes ready. But how many know God has a way of kindly interrupting what we think we need to say? So I just want to encourage you this morning. Is that okay? Yes, sir. I just want to encourage you this morning. You know, the Bible says it's in Samuel, I think, 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, if you want to turn there. And I begin reading at the sixth verse. You know, we'll talk about some of this whole chapter, but I'm going to begin at the sixth verse. It says, "Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. For the people were embittered, each one because of the sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord." And another translation says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, I want to just share a little bit about what's going on here, because David and him had been out to battle, and they came back, and people had burnt their houses, took their children, took their daughters and sons, the wives. And the men were upset with David, because how many know David was an awesome warrior and a leader and a king? So when they came back, everything had been burnt and taken away. In other words, they had captured everything. And now they were looking at David and was mad at David because, David, you are our leader and you let this happen to us. How many know some things are happening to us in this day and time that we need to begin to do what? Encourage ourselves in the Lord. Okay, so when David, they begin to look at David, and David was distressed because they turning on him now. You know, you my man, you my boys, what's going on with you here? They turning on him. And David looked around and he encouraged himself, or he strengthened himself in the Lord. And you say, well, what does that have to do with me? How many know that we got to get to the place that we don't just bow down and give up and throw in the towel? We got to encourage ourselves, amen? And we got to encourage one another, okay? And I believe that God dropped some scripture in my heart just to share with you, to encourage you this morning, because what you got to realize, how many know that was under the old covenant, okay? That was under the old covenant. What I mean by under the old covenant, it was under the Old Testament. And how many know that they literally killed lives? They literally fought natural battles. They literally fought against each other, okay? But what we got to understand about David, David had a testimony. And his testimony was this: I remember the bear, and I remember the lion that tried to come and take my little lambs, and I slew both of them. See, your testimony sometimes is what you got to begin to look at and begin to say, hey, I remember when God did this. I remember when I didn't have and God blessed me with this. I remember when the time that it just seemed like that things that I was just going to be wiped out, but I remember God. You know, and the Bible says, but if God be for us, who can be against us? See, and that was David's confidence. His confidence wasn't in the men, but his confidence was in his God. See, David had fought many battles, but David remembered being on the backside of the desert taking care of the sheep when the lion and the bear came. But not only that, David remembers slaying Goliath. And how many know he was a giant? And everybody was fleeing from Goliath. Everybody was running from him. But David was a man that knew God, and he was a man that had a covenant with God, and he understood covenant. Because David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And what you got to understand about uncircumcised in that day, it was considered that you don't even have no protection. You don't even have a covenant. And David knew he was uncircumcised. And David said, how dare you to defile the armies of the living God? See, and this is the same David that now is in distress, but yet David is encouraging himself. How many know we're living in a day and time there's a lot of distress going on? There's a lot of discouragement going on. But I'm here to encourage you today, church, that you don't have to give up, because there's a God on your side that's more than enough. Amen. He's more than enough. Amen. And he will not forsake you in the heat of the battle. He will not turn his back on you. He said, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. See, our confidence can't be in what we're seeing that's going on in the world. Our confidence has to be in God. Amen. See, if you have big God, you got what? Big faith. Amen. So it ain't about me doing anything, but it's about what God has already done and accomplished for us so that we can live in a world that's corrupt but still have victory. Still have victory. See, I know what it is to feel, you know, discouraged. I know what it is to feel disappointed. I know what it is to feel lonely and rejected. I know how that feels. Why? Because I've been through it. Not that I'm boasting on myself, but what I'm trying to get you to see is we all are going to face some stuff, but it don't change God. It don't change God. See, and as a church, we got to learn, even though I heard this guy preaching the other week at a funeral, he said, you know, we got to get like that, what's the name of that watch? He said, Timex. You got to take a licking and keep on ticking. I said, oh, yeah, that'll preach that, brother. But I ain't trying to take his message. But how many know that's true? Sometimes we take a licking, but we keep on ticking. Amen? We don't give up out of disappointment. We keep on pressing in. Why? Because we know our God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, according to the power that works in us. Look at your neighbor and tell him, the power is in us. And this is what we have to learn, as David encouraged himself, not in David. It didn't say he encouraged David. He said he encouraged himself in what? In the Lord. Otherwise, what David was doing was, he said, look, my God is too big for us to turn back gods. My God is too big to give up. They might have took everything, but David knew a God that if he would go into God into his prayer closet, and he began to go into his prayer closet, and he began to require of God, and he said, shall I pursue and go after what's been taken? He acknowledged God. And the Bible says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. See, when we acknowledge God, we bring God in the equation and we bring God in what we're going through. But many a times we try to battle it alone, and how many know when we battle it alone, we become discouraged? Why? Because we can't do it alone. We need the help of God. Amen? So David began to, inquire. He began to say, God, should we go up? Should we go pursue these? And you know what God said? Go get them, so to speak. Go get them. And the Bible said they recovered all. To where the men, the ones that didn't go, the men were saying, well, since y'all didn't go fight, y'all ain't gonna get nothing. But David began to say, no, boys, we're not going to do that. Give to them also. How many know David always included the body or the people of God, the whole, amen? And that's what I'm telling you today. We're in this as one whole. We are a church that's united together. And guess what? We're going to recover all, amen? You might say, well, you don't know what my son or daughter are going through. You don't know what I'm going through. But how many know when we begin to pray together, things begin to happen? And this is what we have to understand, and we have to encourage one another. Why? Because the Bible tells us to. Well, when I went through, I didn't have nobody to encourage me. I guarantee you somebody prayed for you. How many know we're not a product of our own doing? We're a product of what's been prayed or the things that we have learned through the years. I just didn't happen to trust God, but how many know through the things I went through, God was developing trust and strength, okay? So with that, when David began to inquire of God, the Bible said he went and he recovered all. He recovered all. See, that wavered child, guess what? They coming back. Them grandkids, they coming back, amen? See, there is something that God has promised us. And how many know God said, our house shall be saved? I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when he's going to do it, but he said he would do it. He said he will hiss at your children. Come on. And, you know, for long, they're going to be calling, you know, Dad, I heard Pastor Charlie say, Dad, you know, I'm thinking more of God now than I was. I mean, you know, that's the prayer that he was praying for his son. See, and God is no respecter person. See, and then when we begin to look at these things and begin to acknowledge, we can learn from the old scriptures. Why? Because it teaches us how to really trust God in difficult situations. See, they were ready to stone David. They were ready to get rid of the king. But guess what David did? He didn't let none of them move him. Because his trust was in God. And I'm telling you, we got to get it. We got it on our money. We got it all over the world. But how many know we really got to develop a relationship with God to where we can build trust? See, you're not going to trust a person you don't know, right? But the more you know that person, the more you can trust that person, correct? And that's the same way with God. The more we learn about him, the more we're going to be able to trust him. See, because we're fighting not just a physical body, but we're fighting what? Principalities, spiritual wickedness, all these demons and all these things that are trying to lie to us and tell us that we're not going to make it, that we're not good enough, we're not this, we're not that. How many know you got to come to the conclusion that the devil is a liar? He's a liar. And the truth is in Jesus Christ. So that's why it's important that we need to have a good, what? Appetite for the word of God so that we can learn what is truth. Amen? All right. So go with me to Philippians. Go with me to Philippians. I just want to encourage you today. How many can use some encouragement? Sometimes when I go through things, you know, I can only speak for myself. I know we all got a testimony. But how many know when you go through, sometimes when you're going through things, it almost feel like nobody cares. But that's a lie. See, that's what the enemy wants us to think. Okay? Is it all right if I talk to you like this? See, that's what the enemy wants you to think, that nobody cares, okay? And once he gets that little lie kind of resonating in your mind, you begin to isolate yourself. See, and that's what he want to do, is get you to isolate yourself. See, and I know you can't tell everybody and anybody your business, but there should be some strong saints that you can go to and relate and say, hey, I need you to pray for me. I'm going through this. See, but what the enemy's game is to lie to you so you will isolate yourself. See, and how many know the best prey to get is the one that has what? Isolated themselves. Why? Because there's no one there to help you to fight the battle. And what the enemy's game is for us to isolate ourselves from each other. But how many know that's a lie? We need to begin to rely and begin to pray to God. But how many know God has got people set that will encourage you and help you through whatever you're going through? This is why the Bible said it is a body of Christ. See, Paul didn't say, I the body of Christ. He said, but who? We the body of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have the gifts of God. See, we, other words, inclusive, we. See, but it's the enemy that want to separate and divide. Why? Because when you're separated and divide and isolate, you will pray for him and his little old demons. That's why the Bible says, you know, be wise as a serpent and humble as a dove. Amen? And he said, be alert, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, come to you as what? A roaring lion. And how many know, if you know anything about the hunters or the lion, what do they try to do? Isolate the prey. Want to growl over here and that animal will run yonder, but they already got something set over there when you get isolated from the flock, amen, to just wipe him out. Amen? So that's what the enemy want to do to us. He want us to isolate. But how many know we're living in a day and time that we don't need to isolate, we need to come together. And I know you say, well, how can we come together? Just like today, we're gathered here together, amen. How many know the Bible said that we should be doing what? Encouraging one another as it is called today, okay? All right, so you what did I tell you to go? Philippians, right? Okay, I'm gonna get there, all right? I get to, my wife, she always says, John, you didn't give us a chapter and a verse. You didn't give us a chapter and a verse. Sometimes I get so excited. You know, I'm going to try to take my time and walk through this, okay? Philippians, first of all, is chapter 4. Okay, chapter 4. How many know the Word of God is so good? I'm telling you, it is rich with good stuff. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 12. Let's read. Let's start there, okay? All right. I'm still in Ephesians. Hold on. Chapter 4. Okay, verse 12. I'm going to start. I'm going to go back to verse 10. It says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you like opportunity. And what Paul is talking to the Philippian church is that they always supported his ministry and the things and give to him. But notice what he said in verse 11. Not that I'm speaking for want. For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. Notice what he said, I have learned. Are you learning to be content in whatever circumstance you're going through? See, and sometimes when we're going through, how many know it's the process of God developing us into Christ's likeness? See, and when we go through things, don't feel like, well, you know, God, all I get is a bunch of trials. How many know we're living in a corrupt world and things are going to happen? See, but what we got to learn to do is be content. And that word content don't mean to just stop, but it means that we have to learn. We have to pause a little bit and begin to learn, okay, God, what are you doing here? What are you teaching me here? What do I need to be learning here? How many know God is developing us, amen, into his likeness? And when we go through circumstance, that's the greatest time when God began to develop us. Why? Because sometimes you just have to be still and listen to what God is saying and begin to glean from him, begin to cry out to him. And how many know when you cry out to him, he begin to start showing you what he's doing and begin to reveal to you, hey, look, this ain't all bad, but see, you got to begin to do what? Count it all joy. Count it joy. Why? Because what God is working in you, you can't do it yourself. You can't do it yourself. So God is saying, I'm taking this opportunity to teach you and to develop you. Why? Because you can't do this yourself. If you do it yourself, you know what that would be? Self-righteous. But if the Holy Spirit began to work in you, how many know he's developing his righteousness, his likeness, his character. So Paul is saying here, he said, I have learned to be content in whatever situation or circumstance I am. For I know how to get along with humble means. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, you know, and I was just thanking the Lord. I was looking at the picture of the little young man. He was so thankful, just crying, you know, about everything. How many know that's a childlike faith? Amen. God, I just thank you for everything. God, you're so good, you know. And I was thinking the other day, I was riding by, you know, and God reminded me, you know, years when Faye and I, we first got married, I had to cut wood. I had to go out in the woods. I had to bust wood and just get all ground and splinters in the fingers and everything, and just crying out to God, God, I just need America, God. I don't want to go through this. Just crying, you know. And God reminded me, John, where you are now is what I developed then. See, my faith in him now just didn't start, but God was teaching me in cutting the wood. I was looking at the wood on side. I said, man, what would I have given when I was cutting wood? Something like this. I just go on the side of the road and cut it and go back home. Amen. But God reminded me, I was developing you. Those were the developing years, and he's still developing me. So don't take lightly when you go through things. God is developing you. Sometimes we don't even see what he's doing. Sometimes we pray and we say, God, if you'll just help me to overcome this. But you don't realize when you're going through, God is developing that thing so that when you begin to mature and grow up, you will say, I don't even realize, I don't even need that no more. I don't even want that no more. I don't want to act this way no more. Why? Because God has done a work. And sometimes we don't even see it, but God is at work. The Bible said we don't even see it sometimes, but he's still what? He's still working. Don't even feel it sometimes, but he's still what? Working. Amen. He's perfecting us, and he's doing what? He's building us up so that we will be an encouragement to other people. Amen. It ain't all about you. It's about what he's doing in you and through you. Okay? So let's look at this a little further. Paul goes into verse 12. He says, I know how to get along with humble means. Have you ever just been in a humble means? Amen. It's just enough to get by. How many know that sometimes we're looking for the abundance and God is saying, I'm just going to give you daily bread. You know, the Israelites messed up. God said, now I want you to go out and get enough manna for today. And don't you know them jokers, they went out and they said, how many know flesh is just, it just want it all. It want, you know, trying to get enough for tomorrow and all this. And what God was trying to teach them is, trust me for today. See, and when we begin to trust him for today, what God is saying, I'm going to provide for you today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will have its own problems. I think that's a scripture, isn't it? Said, don't take thought for tomorrow will have enough troubles within itself. Live in the present. And what the Israelites was doing, they were trying to do what? Put supply for themselves. And you know what God did to it? He caused it to rot. So what is God teaching them? I want you to trust me, Jehovah God. Just trust me. I'm going to supply to you every day what you need. Just trust me. And they went about trying to do it themselves. And God said, I'll fix that. It'll rot. How many know the carnal things would just rot? But it's the spiritual things that will endure forever. Okay? So I know how to get along with humble means. And also I know how to live in prosperity. In other words, Paul said, I know how to live when I don't have enough, and I know how to live when I got plenty. And you know what I believe what Paul learned is this, whether I have a lot or whether I have a little, if I have a lot or I have little, I'm still going to glorify God. I'm still going to be thankful to God. I'm still going to be giving God glory. I'm still going to be praising Him. I'm still going to be thanking Him. I'm still going to be praying to Him. I'm still going to be reading His word. Why? Because my hope is not built in the things that I possess, but my hope is built in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we think, well, if I got plenty, I'm prospering. But how many know that's not an indication that you have? Just because you have plenty don't mean that you're prospering in God. You just got a lot of things. And how many know that we're not moved by things? It's all right to have things, but don't let things have you. Right? Okay? All right. So Paul is saying, you know, I know how. And then he goes on, he says, in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I have learned the secret. And you know what his secret was? Whether I got plenty or whether I got little, he's still my God. I'm still going to praise him. See, and there's something that's called a sacrifice of praise. When we just seem like there's nothing, I can't feel it, I don't see nothing you're doing, but I'm going to praise you anyway. Why? Because I know my God is faithful. I know I serve a good God. And you know what? It is the goodness of God that overcomes us. It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. It's not trying to scare them into doing something, but it is the goodness of God. Do you realize that when they see how good our God is, they're going to want to say, I want some of that. I want some of what you got. And you know, that's a great opportunity to do what? To share our faith and share about how good our God is. How many know he's a good God? Amen. And you know, sometimes, you know, I believe we think it is too good to be true. It is so good. This God is so good. Sometimes it is too good to be true. You telling me that God loved me in spite of myself. You tell me that God is with me, even when I don't even see him. You tell me God is, I'm telling you that it is, God is so good. Sometimes we think I got to do something to make this work. And God is saying, you don't have to do nothing to make it work. It's not for works. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to plead for it. I've already did it for you. Amen? He said, I have did it for you. And all you have to do is believe and receive and enjoy the journey with him. Now, with enjoying the journey, guess what's going to happen? Things are going to happen, but you got to be encouraged. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage somebody else. Amen? So Paul is saying, I have learned a secret, and this is a secret. I can do all things. See, we quote the script, I can do all things through Christ, but we need to back up and listen what Paul went through. See, look at the circumstances. Look how he endured. Look how he went hungry. Look how he went with prosper. Look how he was content in all those things. And then you begin to say, hey, look, I've learned the secret. I can do all things through Christ who what? Strengthens me. I can do all things through him. See, and that's what Paul is saying. I've learned the secret. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So I encourage you this morning, you can do all things through him. You might have little now, you might have a bunch now, you might be prospering out of your ears now, but yet and still keep giving God the glory. Keep praising God. Keep being thankful to Him. Why? Because gratitude and thanksgiving, amen, it causes God to even open up the floodgates to even give more. Why? Because you are so grateful for what He's doing. And we have to encourage one another. Or encourage yourself in the Lord. See, and what we have to come to understand, church, is this. That sometimes our emotions get the best of us. See, your emotions will determine by the way you think. If you watch, sometimes you can be feeling bad and you'll start thinking bad. You can start feeling defeated and you start thinking defeated. You can just start thinking nobody loved me and you'll start feeling like nobody loved you. So what you got to do is change the way you think. Don't allow those thoughts to build a fortress in your mind. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I think it is 10, when it says, Paul said, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. And those strongholds are lies that the devil is trying to build a fortress to keep you from believing God. But Paul didn't stop there. He said, do what? Casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and taking captivity to the what? Obedience of Christ. See, the obedience of Christ. You know, and I used to think it was my obedience. But no, it don't say my obedience. It said the obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ does what? It gives me righteousness. It brings me freedom. The obedience of Christ is what Christ has already accomplished for me, and I begin to renew my mind according to what Christ have done for me, and I begin to walk in His obedience. I begin to take on His obedience, and guess what? His obedience led Him to victory. We have to change the way we think. That's what Jesus said when He came preaching the gospel. He said, repent and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is nigh you. And that word repent means to change the way I think. And I know a lot of times we say, well, change direction. But how many know you can change direction, but if you don't change the way you think, eventually you're going to go back to that same direction you was in before you started out. So what Jesus, Paul is saying there in that scripture is the obedience of Christ. Through one man's disobedience, He brought what? Condemnation. But through one man's obedience, brought what? Justification and righteousness. See, it was Christ's obedience that Paul was saying, this is what you got to renew your mind in, what Christ has already accomplished for you. How many know it is a finished work? And the work has been completed. And when Jesus said it's finished, this won't have to be done again. It is finished. It is completed. Amen. Everything that we need in life and godliness has already been provided through Christ. And that's where we have to renew our minds, through what Christ has done for us. That's what Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Okay? So Paul said, I've learned how to be what? Content. I've learned how to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. Whatever circumstance I'm in, I'm learning to be content in Him. Why? Because I can't change it no way. Think about it. The Bible said, which one of you taking worries can add a length to your life? How much many years can you add to your life by wearing? None. So why not just enjoy the journey? Come to Him and learn of Him. Amen? Okay. Let's look at Hebrews for a second. Okay. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, okay? Chapter 3 and verse, okay, yeah, 13, okay? I'm going to back up to verse 12. It said, take care, brethren, that there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, that falls away from what? The living God. Amen? Oh, they got it up there. Okay. It says, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. How many know that he's a living God? See? And this is what Jesus is doing. Jesus is saying, look, we have a reality, the realness. He's just not something we talk about on Sunday. But he's just as real on Sunday as he is on Monday. On Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, he's real every day. And see, and this is what Jesus has did for us, that we could have a relationship with the living God. The God that created the moon and the stars. The God that created this world. You are in relationship with him. Man. And that's something to be excited about. Why? Because he's the true and living God. He is not a dead God. He is not a God of the doom. He's not a God far off. He's a God on the inside of you. He resonates. He lives in me and you. Man. Get that right. He lives in me. He's not way over yonder somewhere. He's in me. And when I go through, guess who I'm going through with? He is in me. He's going through and he's teaching me how to overcome. He's teaching me how to endure the process. He's teaching me how to act like a son of God and not try to beg my way in. How many know I can come boldly to my daddy? He's for me, not against me. And we have to understand these things that when we go through, God ain't trying to punish me. God is not, how many know the punishment failed on Christ? The wrath of God that we deserve was poured out on him. He's not trying to punish us. He's trying to grow us up. He's not trying to, see, if you think God is trying to punish you, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to want to love on it. You're not going to pray to him. See, but you got to get rid of that mentality that God is trying to punish me. He is not trying to punish you. What he's doing is he wants you to grow up so these things won't lord it over you. So these things won't stop you from worshiping the true and living God. Okay? All right. Okay. So he says, but encourage, verse 13, but encourage one another, what? Day after day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ. Notice it didn't say, I have come partakers of Christ. But we have what? Become. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm unto the end. Okay? So what he said, encourage one another today, daily. Okay? Would you like to practice that? Okay. This is your opportunity to practice that. Encourage that person beside you. Encourage that person beside you. Brother Joe, it's good to see you, brother. God is good, isn't he? Amen. He's raising you up step by step. Amen. How many got an encouraging word? Come on, be honest. Who got an encouraging word? Okay. How did it make you feel? Good. Made you feel apart? Huh? See, we got to encourage one another. Amen? And you know what that word, really what the word encouragement means is to come alongside and assist one another. I mean, you know, that's so much better than being isolated. Amen? Okay, we're about to close. Go with me to Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 and verse 25, okay? I'm going to back up to 23. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another. That word stimulate is another word for encouragement. Stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking ourselves, our assembling together, not forsaking our own assembling together, for as the habit of some, but do what? Encourage one another. And in all the more as you see the day what? Drawing near. How many know some days are drawing near that we need to be encouraging one another? See, we can't just put a head in the sand, church, and say, oh, it's going to be all right. How many know that we need to acknowledge what's going on around us? And I'm telling you, things are beginning to look so hopeless. But how many know we're not looking at things, we're looking at God? How many know God is our hope? Amen? God is our hope. And what we're looking at, how many know that we're looking at the hope that's in God? He is our hope. The Bible said it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen? So we have a living hope through him. Amen? So I want you to look at your neighbor and let them know, hey, there is hope. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope. Okay? There is hope. You say, yeah, but no, get rid of the but, and let's say, there is hope. Right? Okay, there is hope. One other scripture, we'll close out with this one. 1 Thessalonians 5. We want you to be encouraged, amen, because we live in a day and time there is so much hopeless and sadness, you know, but we got as a church, how many know there is hope for us? Amen. We have joy. Amen. And that's what David said. He said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Sometimes we don't lose our salvation, but how many know we just need to get that joy to bubble up again, that we enjoy it. It's not a doom and gloom here. Amen. It's exciting times to see God do his work. Thessalonians 5 and verse 13. Let's see, verse 14, okay? He said, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for what? All people. Encouraging one another. Amen? Okay? You ready to practice some more? Okay. Now I want you to go to a different person and encourage them. Uh-huh. Yes. Go to a different person and encourage them. Amen. Go to a different person. Hey, brother. It's good to see you. It's good to see you. Okay, all right. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Y'all are still encouraging each other. Amen. How many like to practice?
I knew that. He said
snacks. We got to talk to him. Amen. All right. We thank God for you. I just want to encourage you all, amen, that God is for you, not against you. I know we're in this season, there's a lot of sadness and depression and all that that's going on, but I want to encourage you today that you have a true and living God that's for you and not against you. Amen? He's for you, not against you. And that's what we got to keep in mind, that God is for us. I don't care what you're going through. I know some of us go through some hard times, battles here and there, but God is for us. God is not he's not the one that's trying to make you feel bad and do all these things, but God wants you to be encouraged. Amen? Amen. And so with this season that we're approaching, amen, encourage somebody as you go along the way. If it ain't nothing but just a little kind word, it is so good to see you today. Glad you're here. You know, and don't just flatter them, but come from here. Amen. All right. Father, we thank you today, Lord. And Lord, we thank you so much, Father, for your presence. And Lord, we just wanted to encourage your people today, Lord. We're not trying to impress or to entertain them, Lord. But God, I feel that you placed that in my heart this morning, Lord, when you said David encouraged himself in the Lord. And God, we know that we can encourage ourselves, but God, we have so much more with our brothers and sisters as we encourage each other. So God, we pray as we go out through this week, Lord, as we depart from this place, never your presence, Lord. Watch over us and protect us. And God, remind us every day, Lord, that greater days are ahead for the church, Lord. God, we're not in doom and gloom, but God, we're going out victorious, Lord. And God, we thank you, Lord God, what you're doing in us and through us, Lord. And God, we pray, Lord God, again, Lord God, for your grace to cover us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's worship and study of God's word was encouraging to you. If we can help you in any way, please reach out to us by going to fathersvineyard.org. That's fathersvineyard.org. Thank you again, and we hope we can see and hear from you soon. Until next time.